Great. So again, welcome to RT 101, Bond for Success. This is, just a heads up, probably our hardest learning event out of the 12 core learning events that lead towards a certificate in Northern Recreation Leadership. The first week is nice and light, but the second week we ask you to create a plan, which I'll explain a little bit later. But then the good thing about getting through this learning event is then we've got three that are lighter and more fun and more engaging leading up to when we take a break at the end of May. So there's different reasons why you might plan, and although those reasons change, planning is really about making a difference. So outcomes-based and strategic approaches, which are big words, but we'll dig into those, make it easier for you to prioritize and create plans for recreation to benefit the people in the communities that you work with and also their the communities that you work with. So if you have a look at the slides, slide 4 explains what our learning objectives are, and it says that this learning event encourages you to explore how when we plan for recreation, it helps us sort of achieve those benefits of sport and recreation. The individual health ones, the social ones, and environmental ones as well. We're also going to identify some basic planning concepts that are part of a recreation programming cycle, so how it breaks out that way. And we're going to look at, or you're actually going to show us how planning can help you achieve sort of bigger, longer-term visions. So if you think back to the PE 101 design and deliver a program or event learning event, that was a small piece, and now we're going bigger. So if you imagine that was a small piece of a bigger plan, we're looking at bigger, higher level plans in this learning event. So what I'd like to do is, you guys have introduced yourselves in the chat. Thank you very much for that. It's really nice to be able to chat back and forth, and you can do private chats if you want to send a message to anyone as well. But I'd like to do a quick around our circle, and I will use the circle that I see on the screen. It's just a little bit easier for me to follow along than an alphabetical order or anything like that. Which is, Holly, you're right next to me in the circle. And what I'd like you to do is just share with us one thing that will be more successful because you've taken time to plan it. And it might be a program you've done, or it might be something in your personal life. And Holly, while you're thinking of what yours might be, I'll give you guys my example. And then on my screen, I see Holly, Josh, Robin, and then we'll go to Quentin, Misha, Kaylee, Amory, Igor, and Melanie. So Holly, while you're thinking of yours, I'll just explain mine. So in the past week, I've been trying to figure out details for a trip that I'm doing with my daughter and granddaughter in April. And it's been a little while since I've traveled with a toddler. So, I was trying to figure out how to fit things in between not too early in the morning and not too late at night, and definitely not at 3 in the morning for things like fairies and stuff. So that sort of planning, if I do it properly, will make for a way more successful trip than ending up somewhere and having to get a toddler up at 2 in the morning to go catch a fairy. So that's kind of my hope, that my planning leads to a more successful trip. Holly, how about you? What's something that you've planned or will be planning that will make it more successful?
I think something that we are planning to do is something called the Lights On program. It originally started in Iceland. It was a really big hit across Europe. It goes on in Hay River and also in Fort Simpson in the NWT. I do suggest all of you check it out. It's a very good program. We are planning to do it. We are collaborating with the school and the band and the community health representative and some of the local nurses here as well. The program basically I don't know how to explain it. But that's just something we're planning to do. It's like from 7 to midnight for ages 13 to 18. I'm still reading about it, so it's fairly new to me. I know I've been to the program before. I know what it is. I know how to run it. Explaining it, I'm not the best talking.
That's okay, Holly. it could be something that you can work on planning a little bit more through this learning event.
Yeah, I think for the planning assignment, I already looked into week two because I always try to be ahead of myself, but I think that's something I will be adding into my annual plan. So we're doing it every year.
That's great. And if you happen to be on your computer and have a link to where LightsOn takes place somewhere else, maybe you could pop it in the chat for anyone who's interested in following up. So thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, no problem.
Josh, how about yourself? What's something either in your personal or work life that you think will be more successful because you took the time to plan?
I think you take the time to plan things. Health and safety will always be better than if you had nothing at all. So I coach track and field outside of work, and on the indoor track, I can be quite busy. There's lots of people sprinting up and down the track, and when I'm working with my 10, 11-year-olds, they aren't always quite aware of who might be sprinting down the track when they step onto it. So it's really important that I plan out where they'll be standing. So if I put down a cone, I'll see if it's behind this cone, and I think that really helps them keep in line and practice good track etiquette and not run out in front of someone sprinting. And when I did do that at the start, we had way more close calls. So when I started to plan for keeping kids safe in the back of my mind, I found more success with that.
That's great. Thanks. And that also ties into our last learning event to risk management. So you can see that you can be planning, as Holly suggested, for a program, or you can be planning for how you deliver or coach an activity. So thanks for that, Josh. Important. Robin, is there anything that you have planned lately that because of the planning, it more successful or will be?
Yeah, one thing that me and my coworker are working on is a sponsorship package, because for lots of our larger events, we go to different private businesses and request sponsorship. And so by creating a package and figuring out what sort of advertising, what sort of things are beneficial for them, we're able to get really ahead of it and often get to people before their fiscal year ends, so we can get more guaranteed funds. Whereas if you're asking sort of last minute, a lot of businesses will be like, well, sorry, we're tapped out for the year, or that wasn't in our budget for this year. And also by creating this package, we can send for multi-year deals, because we've got a big sign at the Marshall Community Center with room for different sponsors. So by creating this package, we can be like, if you give us $1,000 every year for the next 2 years, we can put your sign up. And that way, in the coming years, we have less work to do in securing sponsors for our larger events.
Great. That's a good example, a different example. So thank you for sharing that. That's why I sort of wanted to put this picture together of all these different things we plan. And that's a very important piece. And as Robin pointed out, sometimes a multi-year type planning approach. So thank you, Robin. Quinton, I wonder if you wanted to jump in or pop in the chat something that you've planned or will be planning that will lead to more success.
Yeah, so that sounds pretty basic and pretty simple, but basically if you're a facilitator, instructor, or coach, a practice plan for what you're going to do with the team or with the group that you're working with is very important, because sometimes being unprepared, kind of have to figure out, but it can be stressful. And so having a plan in place really, really helps. Also, I find with the groups that I usually work with, it's a variety of skills, sometimes it's a variety of ages and stuff. So you have to try and create some plan that sort of can accommodate those differences and stuff like that. So, and that's really hard to figure out on the spot when you have all those differences and stuff like that.
That's actually a really good example, because it's pretty obvious sometimes when people have taken the time to plan and when they haven't. So thank you for sharing that. Let's go to Nisha, Katie, Amory, and again, you guys can pop in the chat or you can share. So what's an example of something that you've planned or will be planning that will lead to better success?
Actually, a funding application. I think the more people support letters and people who know what the project's about and that are on board, and just figuring out what the budget would look like and stuff, which I think is planning. Of what a project would look like, and applying for funding, they're more likely to say yes if it's a legit plan rather than it being
Yeah, that's great. Exactly. So it's also obvious when you've planned a project well, your budget is realistic. If your budget looks a little wonky, then the question is it properly planned or not? So thank you for sharing that. Let's go to Kaylee, and then Amory, Igor, and then Melanie. Kaylee, is there something that you've planned, either personal or work-life, lately that because of the planning has made it be more successful, or something you will plan that you think will make it more successful?
I think just having, for a few things, is having an itinerary of where, if you're going on a trip, having that. And then also, like, for bigger events, just having, like, a big project plan of who's going to do what, like, with tasks and what needs to be done. Yeah, just having a big project plan that's shared with everybody so everybody knows who's doing what, and just having a task designated to certain people so that we're all on the same page and we all know what we're doing. That's like the bigger events and whatnot. I think that helps me plan things out.
That's a great idea, and both of those are similar, because I think what you're talking about is a map. And it sounds like, you know, sort of mapping out whether it's a journey, work that you're doing in communities, or a special event. And you know, that is kind of like a way of showing where you're going and how to get there and all those sorts of things. So thanks for sharing that. Well, those two examples, because it lets us see how they're similar. Thanks, Kaylee. Amory, how about yourself? Did you want to jump in and share something that you've either planned or will be planning that will make things more successful?
Oh, yeah, I'm putting it down right now.
Okay, that'd be great. I'll look forward to reading it. Thank you. Igor, how about yourself? Do you have an example to share?
Yes, I will take an example. I will take the example of my current trip. So, planning to visit four different countries on four continents was quite a task, like first flights, hotels, activities, everywhere. Because after Bangkok, I go to Rio in Brazil, and then I go to Cairo in Egypt, in Africa, and then I go to Europe, and then I go back to Toulouse after that. So, it was quite a big planning, a lot of planning activities, but I think it will be nice at the end.
I think so. And such a big trip means that if you don't plan it properly, it's going to cost you like four times more, too. So there's cost implications and potentially missed connections or getting to a country and not having the right visa. There's all sorts of things. So, yeah. Thanks for sharing that.
No problem.
Hi, Melanie. Do you have something that, like, you've done a lot of planning lately, I think. Did you want to share something as well?
Yeah, not off my work.
And then 5-year trip?
We have a lot of planning here, and I am a big fan of lists and work plans and knowing that everyone knows what we're going to do, what by time, taking down tasks and duties, so I'm a big fan of lists and time schedules, or how you call it. I was in this journey to walk to off the oceans of Canada, and in order to prepare for it, like, I for example, there I had to prepare for it to make it not too much of a rocky start. So you had to I planned 1 year for it, and I had to figure out equipment for all the different seasons, because I had a very, very small budget. I had to reach out to find sponsors. I did make a budget plan for my journey to see how long my funds will last. Because I hiked the Trans-Canada Trail across Canada, so I also had to, of course, look into all the different trail sections and would they be road sections, or would they go through nature? Would they be gravel sections? And there's a lot of things that when you plan these kind of things, that still go wrong, and there's still a lot of unknowns. But you can at least keep the unknowns to in a to a certain level of control, to feel empowered and less anxious. So I also did like a first aid, wilderness course, things like this to keep me safe. It's a lot.
It was a lot. It was 5 years. And I'm just wondering, do you have a link like to your online that you can pop in the chat? Because for those of you that don't know, Melanie spent 5 years walking the Trans-Canada Trail, and you touched all three oceans, right?
Yeah.
So it's really cool story. So I don't know if you have something that you can pop into the chat for anybody who'd like to read a little bit more about that.
And what is interesting is, like, when you go on a journey like this, you feel like you have to prepare so many things. But what I did not prepare for was returning to society. And so that was a huge problem.
Yeah.
So coming back really unprepared and trying to master to settling back in, that came with a lot of challenges. And that there you see the difference of, you know, preparedness and unpreparedness, how you master the situation, I think. Yeah.
That's a really interesting way of explaining it. So you think of this, it's kind of like event planning, right? Like you plan a big event and then and then it's done, and then what do you do, right? So, thanks for sharing that, Melanie. And if you have a link, just pop it in the chat if you don't mind sharing it. It's really interesting. Mm-hmm. So thank you. So as you can see, planning is something we all do on a very small scale and on a big scale as well. And you also work for organizations or communities that depend on strategic plans to guide their operations. Our different associations might rely on program plans and budgets. And we also live in communities where priorities might be written down in something like an official community plan. So although planning in our personal lives is very similar to planning a successful program, most people, as you may have learned in activity number one, don't receive any formal training about how to plan. It's something we're kind of raised with. We might learn it from parents or from friends or while we're in an organization, but there's no sort of design out there as to how to learn it. So our journeys and our planning looks different because of that. So I'm going to flip to the slides here, and we're going to take a quick look at what planning is. So let me just start the sharing here. So if I go to slide six here, slide six gives a really basic take on planning. Where are you now? Where do you want to go? And how are you going to get there? And a plan is like a roadmap. So Kaylee mentioned sort of this concept of laying out an itinerary or laying out all the pieces for a big special event. So similar to a map or a roadmap. And a plan helps you figure out where you are, where you want to go, and how you're going to get there. In recreation, we plan all the time. I'm sure you guys know that. What people see in recreation and sport, our participants, is just the tip of the iceberg of the work that takes into going into that, what you're doing, whether it's hockey or snowboarding or a big special event or sponsorships. What people see at the end is just a little piece, and often they don't realize the amount of work and planning that goes into what you're actually doing. Planning improves the likelihood that our programs and services will be successful. And I want you to think about in sport and recreation, success isn't just about the number of people who come to your program. Success is also about those long-term impacts that we have in our communities and for the people who come to our programs. So when we plan for success, we're not just planning the what, but we're also planning for the why. We're planning for the benefits and the positive outcomes, like a healthier lifestyle, kids that are more engaged, like Holly mentioned, you know, from 7 p.m. till midnight. And so we're planning for those bigger, longer-term things. Planning is the first phase in what I would call a programming cycle, or it's part of a programming cycle. So this diagram was shown in PE 101. And I think the planning that we're doing is in orange, highlighted in orange, This planning comes before what you did in TE 101, which was design and deliver a program or event. And it also flows into what some of you are doing in another learning event, RP 102, about evaluating the work that you do. So you can see how these are all linked together. Regardless of how simple or complicated your plan is, a plan should show what you want to accomplish and how you're going to get there. One way of thinking about planning is to break it down into three steps. And I actually came up with this process working with Nunavut to try and keep it really simple for the way that they approached community recreation planning. So it's about getting ready to plan, getting others involved in your planning, and then creating the plan. And that doesn't even show us implementing the plan, which comes afterwards. In recreation, planning is always important. As those of you know, we never have enough money to do what people think the priorities are. And a plan also helps set priorities that will determine where we spend not only our money, but our time, because our time is often one of the things that limits what we can do in recreation and sport. Planning happens at all sorts of different levels, whether it's for special events like Kaylee mentioned, whether it's for programs like what Holly mentioned, whether it's for facility improvements or trail development. Recreation leaders sometimes might plan alone. You might plan with a small group, like with other staff or people who are doing similar activities. Or you might take it a little bit bigger and plan with stakeholders who are, or your board, or a community group. Planning can be influenced by purpose, context, community, and priorities. And I'll just dig into that a little bit more. So if we look at slide 10 here, this looks complicated, but just consider the purpose for your plan. There's so many different types of plans, and they're called so many different types of things. If you can see the slide here, all the different things that they might be called. There's no set rule around what you have to call your plan, but just make sure that you know what you're planning and why, so that your purpose is really clear. And then it will help you with your plan if you have a clear purpose. And we did the same thing in TE 101. We defined the purpose first. So it doesn't matter if you're making a small plan or a big one, make sure you have that purpose in mind. We also, in some of our other learning events, introduce this idea of what is going on in the community. So do we want to use a community development approach to planning or a direct delivery approach? And it doesn't really matter how we approach it, but we need to be flexible and we need to make sure that we adapt our planning to a local context in our community and what's going on and the purpose for it. So you can see here, we have to consider our community. Some of these characteristics might influence the types of plans that we do and the reasons why we plan. So really make sure that you consider the planning and consider who needs to be engaged in the planning. So just sort of think about that. Like, do I need to involve other people? Obviously, if it's a program that you're told you're supposed to deliver, you don't need to. But if it's something like sponsorship, like what Robin's talking about, you probably need to involve other people and make sure that the sponsors that you're approaching reflect your community's values, reflect sort of the traditions in your community. Like, a long time ago, sport used to be heavily funded through tobacco and alcohol companies. And we moved away from that because their values were different to the values in sport. So just, make sure that you consider the community. And then lastly, what you want to do is you want to consider any big priorities. So I've listed a few national priorities and territorial and provincial priorities. So you might be familiar with some of these. The Canadian sport policy, for example, is still, the next revision hasn't been released yet. Those of you at Manitoba Aboriginal Sport and Recreation Council, you might be familiar with the National Indigenous Sports Strategy that's under development. But you also have local, like territorial and provincial things, like Nunavut has its own sport, physical activity and recreation framework. Manitoba. I noticed you guys have an active living, or sorry, an action plan for sport. So there's different things, and if your planning connects to those bigger priorities, then it's way more likely that you're going to be successful, because that these priorities often drive money. So your success might be directly linked to that. So those of you at MASRC that are doing sport for social development, that funding all came through the common vision for increasing physical activity and decreasing sedentary behavior in Canada. So you can see how what the work that you're doing connects to a provincial or territorial priority, to a national one, and helps flow money into what you're doing. So now that we've covered a bit of general background on planning, I've got enough time to do this, right? Let's consider what we plan for. So I'll just stop presenting for a second here. So here's the challenge for you. I'm going to ask you to answer in 10 seconds or less, and I'm not going to put Polly on the spot this time to start. I'm going to move to Josh. So Josh, hopefully you don't mind me putting you on the spot, but let me tell you what I'm putting you on the spot for first so that you know. So I want you to think about, if planning is about a change, about making a difference in the lives of the kids that you work with, the people you work with, your community, if it's about ending up somewhere different than where you started, like Melanie's journey, what are some situations that you right now want to change with either the groups that you work with or the communities that you work with? So what I'm going to encourage you to do, and I'll pop the question in the chat so you can think about this, Josh, and then we'll go Josh, Robin, Clinton, Nisha, Kaylee, Avery, Igor, and Melanie. And if you want to pop in the chat rather than speak up, that's okay too. And if you just want to listen, feel free to pass as well. I'm totally comfortable with that. So the question for you to consider here is, and maybe answer in 10 seconds or less, what's one situation in your community, and it can be a small community within a bigger community, that recreation or sport, add the word sport in there for those of you working with sport, can help change. So Josh, do you feel like you're up to tackling that question in 10 seconds or less?
I'd say off the top of my head, one thing that recreation could help change is obviously mental and physical health. I think that's something that could really help improve in any community in Manitoba.
Awesome. Thank you. Robin, how about for you?
I think maybe community identity. Often people in Marsh Lake just consider themselves like the outskirts of Whitehorse, but by creating more recreational opportunities at the community center, we're able to create a sense of like Marsh Lake community.
Yeah, and I think that helps develop a sense of belonging, right? So you get that identity, you feel like you belong to something, you feel like you're part of something, and people need that social, that's a social need, right, that everybody has. So thanks, Robin. But how about you? And I know your community is a smaller community within a bigger community, but is there something that either through your programs you see sport and recreation help change or improve, or is there something that could be different?
So far, I find because the group work with is kind of like low income, and I find that like their physical abilities with the sports and stuff is lacking, and they need a lot of development in that area. So providing these sporting opportunities for them really helps build up like their physical literacy, and as a result, for a lot of them, confidence, especially if they're beginners, may develop a lot more.
That's great, and that connection to physical literacy, setting them up for something that will last for their lifetime, right? So if you develop those physical literacy skills when they're young, they're more likely to be active as adults and as elders too. So thanks for that, Quentin. So you can see how what you're doing right now has the potential for a long-term impact. Nisha, how about yourself? We'll go Nisha, Kaylee, and Amory, and again, you can pass or you can pop up in the chat.
Maybe by engaging and educating the community on invasive species in the Yukon, we build capacity for conservation purposes and also build awareness.
So what you want to change is you want to change awareness and behavior through education. Or maybe attitudes and behavior you want to change. So what you're looking at changing is changing how people behave out outdoors, out in nature, their practices on the land. Is that kind of right? Okay, great. Thank you. Kaylee, how about yourself? Is there something that in the work that you do that you see that recreation and sport helps to change or improve? Or
So one of our programs here are the Department of Sports and Social Development program. So that focuses on decreasing at-risk behavior. So that's a big one. And then also just increasing confidence, increasing employability skills, and in schooling. So we kind of focus on all of that.
That's great. So you can see how your program is. It's almost like here's your program at the center. And there's these out things going to a variety of different potential positive impacts. Like you mentioned employment, you mentioned school, like success at school, but you also mentioned, like, so you can see how you can situate something like that and have the potential to influence a lot of change, which is a cool thing about recreation and sport. So thanks for sharing that. Avery, how about yourself? Did you want to share something or pop in the chat?
I think I'm going to pass this one.
Okay, that's great. Thank you. If you feel like jumping in, you can, excuse me, always pop in the chat afterwards. And Igor's pops in the chat helps community members stay away from in-risk behavior. What's in-risk? Do you mean at-risk behavior?
I meant doing something like using alcohol or using drugs or something, and then when they are busy with any physical activity or playing sports, they have some other choice they can choose, and they will be avoiding that in-risk behavior. That was my point.
Great. So one way that I describe that for those of you that, you know, might be interested, like sometimes we talk about reducing harmful behaviors, and I find sometimes that from recreation and sports, there's kind of a negative connotation there. So sometimes what I like to say is we want to promote or increase health-enhancing behaviors, because everybody has strengths within themselves, and everybody has, you know, an interest and a willingness to be more healthy. But some people need more help, and through recreation and sport, we can help bring those things out that people really do want to do and be able to do, and those positive behaviors. So it's just kind of like flipping the coin, but it's something that I've learned is an important way, particularly of working with Indigenous communities, is to highlight, build on what's already there, the capacity and the strengths, and think about how we can help improve and take that a step ahead rather than, you know, focus on what we want to get rid of. Hopefully that makes sense, and that everyone's okay with that explanation. That's just my community development background coming out. So thanks, Igor. Melanie, how about yourself? Is there a situation in your community that you think recreation and or sport can help change?
Lots of things have been said already. I agree with Josh, mental and physical health, yes. So also to have a little bit more positive outlook on life and, you know, mastering problems personally at work in the community. But then there's also this integration aspect, what you mentioned, then what's her name? I don't have everyone here. Robin talked about her community, and you said, like, it's the sense of belonging that I see, and then also, like, a lot of the social aspects, like community relationships and community pride, the sense of belonging, and integrating newcomers to the community through recreation. So these kind of things I see as important. Because I feel like we are, for example, a very transient community where people are coming and going. And I have a criticism here that it's not a very welcoming place to newcomers. So I hope that recreation can bring people more together. in a more positive setting also. So, and yeah, so you can think.
Thanks, Melanie. And Holly, I didn't forget about you. I'm going to come back around to you and ask you, is there anything in your community or a situation that you see recreation can help change? And that's for Holly.
Yeah, I definitely think so. Like I said, with the Lifelong program, it runs later on, so the kids are not out doing their shenanigans, being teenagers, basically. We do have high numbers of youth drinking in our community, so that's something we are trying to prevent, especially with our younger generation. And the Lifelong program is a really great program. It runs from, like I said, I'm repeating myself here, it runs from 7 to midnight. It also makes opportunities for employment for our younger staff. Our casual staff is all in high school, so we're really trying to get more casual staff, I believe. But, yeah.
That's great. Thanks, Holly. And I have heard of, I don't know if you guys saw, but Holly posted the Icelandic model. And that's becoming more and more popular. And I actually, for those of you in the Yukon, noticed the Yukon government just made a big investment in health announcement, and they've included money to implement that model here. So, and a lot of these in Nunavut, their recreation directors or coordinators actually don't even start until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and then they run their programs through till the evening, and earlier evenings for younger kids, and the later you get the for older ones, older youth. I don't know what it's like in Manitoba communities, like outside of Winnipeg or not, but it'd be interesting to see if you guys have any examples from Manitoba small communities about how you address those evening hours, because it's hard sometimes. So thanks for sharing that. I think it's really important. So keep in mind what you shared, because I might ask you a few more questions about that. And we all have challenges in our community, but we also all have strengths. So, you know, I often think of a challenge, if I can find the strength or what's underlying that challenge and build on it, it's a really neat way of addressing the challenge. So sometimes I think of opportunities rather than challenges. And just sometimes reframing things in a positive way helps us build on what we want to do and use activities and use language that really is what we try and do in recreation, which is get to those physical benefits, those mental health benefits, and the social benefits that you, and even the environmental benefits that Misha mentioned. So when we plan, oh, I'm going to go back to my slides for just a moment here. When we plan, we always want to be successful. We never plan to fail, right? There are never any guarantees, but when we have a plan, it is more likely that we'll be successful. I think a few of you mentioned, when Quentin did, about showing up to practice without a plan and how that might go. So I don't think I need to convince you that planning helps you succeed. But what we want to do is we also want to begin with the end in mind. We want to plan for impact. So you might be wondering, what do I mean by that? So I think in recreation, we're actually really good at doing what we do in recreation and sport. We do great programs. We involve people. We do a lot in our communities. But sometimes we forget or we don't focus our planning on why we're doing it. So if we only focus on the what, which is the outside of the fortune cookie, if you think about it, it usually our time frame to be successful is pretty short. What am I going to do? I'm going to do a program. What am I going to do? I'm going to build a new playground or renovate the existing playground, or I'm going to manage a pool. Things like that. I'm going to offer some special events. And you do those and you're pretty successful. But if we focus on why, it usually takes longer to get there, but the change or impact is bigger. So imagine a fortune cookie. Put your hand up or pop in the chat if you like fortune cookies. Most people don't like the cookie itself, but they open the fortune cookie or take the cookie to see what the fortune is on the inside. And the outcomes the long-term reason why we're doing what we're doing, the long-term impact of physical literacy, of programs that bring people together and create a sense of belonging. That's what's inside the cookie. So what we want to do is we want to also keep in mind these long-term outcomes when we're planning, so that we're not just doing the what, which is kind of the planning we did in PE 101, but in this learning event, I want you guys really to think about the why, the longer term, and we call those outcomes. So outcomes are a foundation for what we do in recreation and sport. And I suspect when you read the new committee and sport policy, you'll see that there's a lot of similarities between what sport and recreation are both striving for, and these are outcomes. Outcomes are benefits or changes that participants, groups, or communities experience after they participate in what we're doing. So, Misha, you mentioned sort of education and awareness. That might be your activity, but the outcome you're looking for is a change in behavior or a change in attitude or knowledge. So that list down the right-hand side of my slide, those are the things that we're really working towards. Quentin mentioned physical literacy. That's a change in behavior, but it's also a change in your health status and your long-term ability to participate in anything that's physically active. So outcomes are things that weren't there at the beginning, or maybe they were, but we helped improve them or bring them out a little bit more. And think about, usually the change with an outcome is positive, but in some cases the change gets worse. So something like chronic conditions or chronic disease is an outcome of a series of things that a person may have done or not done in their life that have led to perhaps a not so positive outcome. So we often get confused between the words outcome and output. Let me just hit the next slide, it's the right one. Oh, no, we'll stop presenting there. And the two words are pretty similar. So outputs that you might hear are different to outcomes. Outputs are things that we can count. Like I offered 5 sessions in my 1 recreation program. I had 10 kids come to my session today. So in this week, you have a really short required learning activity. And the really short required learning activity is to ask you to go through and choose and figure out what's an outcome and what's an output. It shouldn't take you too long to do, but it will just help you clear up those words. And it will also help you sort of frame how you're planning. Your activities, the things that you're going to do or get or deliver are your outputs. But you're really planning why, because you want to influence mental health, physical activity, or physical literacy, decrease those risky behaviors, improve the health-enhancing behaviors, bring people together. So what I'm going to ask you guys to do right now, I think we've got enough time to do one more round, is I'd like you to think about, and it might not work for some of them, so you might have to think of a program that you suggested. But I'd like you to think about an outcome. So in this case, Josh, your outcome is mental, physical health. But maybe take this back. Let's think about what the outcome was and what one output, something that you would do to lead to that. So for example, a program or an event or a way of designing your program. And I'm asking you kind of a tricky question here. And Josh, I'm not going to put you on the spot. I'm going to go to Robin first with this question. And if the question feels a little confusing, it's perhaps because we haven't dug into this through this week's required learning activity. But let's just, and also if you didn't quite describe the change, you describe the change as an outcome, it might be harder. So Robin, for example, for yourself, you talked about belonging and bringing people together and identity. So that would be actually your outcome. So what is an activity or output that can make you reach that outcome?
Well, we, like for outputs, we do different programming that targets different groups, like the seniors or the like 30-somethings or the children, as well as doing lots of like youth employment opportunities to create a sense of community really early on, so that the people who are there when their kids, when they don't really have a choice,
will hopefully feel that sense of belonging when they're an adult and they have a choice of where to live and what they're going to do.
Great. So if you think about planning and big picture planning now, maybe one of your goals in Mars Lake, because often we flip this around for a strategic plan, one of your goals might be to foster a sense of belonging and identity in your community. How do you do that? Which is the output? Through programs, through employment opportunities, through special events, through creating an open space that people can come together at any time. So I want to challenge you in your activities through this learning event to flip it around and think of it that way and try and think of those big picture things that you really want to change in your community. And then what you do is how you're going to make that change happen. Okay? Quentin, for yourself, the change your outcome that you mentioned was really about engaging kids in, like, it was about physical activity, giving them an opportunity, and also building physical literacy skills. Is there anything specific that you do in your hockey program that you feel really leads to, let's say, that outcome of more physical literacy or improved physical literacy?
I would say that for one thing that could really help with that is actually more practice time. So currently for the last couple of years on the run, it's usually only one practice week and one game a week, but in order to increase that physical literacy even more for the players who are, especially who are not as quite developed, just having more practice time, I think, would really, really help with that. So that comes with some planning in terms of finance, because ice time's not cheap. So.
Yeah, and one of the things that I've known people have done around that is there's more of a trend towards sort of multi-sport or multi-activity. So over the years, we've learned that when kids specialize really young in something like gymnastics or swimming, those ones are fairly typical, that they perhaps lose other skills. Like, I've heard of teenagers who were in a swim program who couldn't throw a ball, for example. So one of the ways to put in that might make it easier is to think about a practice time that's not a sport-related practice, but it's a multi-sport, multi-activity, fun opportunity to get together, play disc golf, play, you know, like do different things. Think about the skills that you're trying to build into that sport, but also do it in a different way. So I've heard about those sorts of things. So when you're thinking about your planning this week, maybe think about planning for physical literacy, and the outputs are the program and the practice time, but are there other outputs that would also help contribute to that overall goal? Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. A lot of people who are high-level athletes, they say that they play multiple sports, not just the same one all the time, so they recommend playing other things, which part of my position, I do other things in the off-season hockey, I do other sports too, so I try to encourage people to join in on those too.
That's great, thanks. That's really good. Yeah, and we've learned over the years that that's still important. So, Nisha, how about yourself? But I think the change that you talked about was around awareness and behavior, and then you mentioned education. So what type of, can you be a bit more specific? What are some of the activities that you might do to educate? Like, what are some of the outputs?
Yeah, so I use this opportunity to create like a little summer plan for what we would do. So I think, yeah, our outcome would be a change in attitude and behavior through education and engagement. And then our outputs would be to host 6 community weekends, participate in the cabin talks, deliver presentations at schools, and be present at events, so like the Firewheel Market.
That's great. So those are really tangible, and they lead to that bigger outcome. So thank you for that. Kaylee, do you want to jump in and try that? Can you think of any specific outputs that would lead? I guess the programs are probably that, right?
Sorry, I'm half on this one.
Yeah, I didn't quite write the right notes down to prompt you with this one. So maybe think about it and think about, listen to what we're saying for everybody else, and then think about how that relates to what you do.
Okay.
And Avery, I'm guessing maybe the same for you. Just to listen to what everyone else is sharing and think about how your big picture pieces, the bigger goals, the bigger outcomes that you're trying to achieve, and what the activities are, and do they all lead to those sort of bigger goals? Igor, how about yourself? I'm not sure exactly what, like you mentioned, a few different outcomes, mostly reducing sort of those risky behaviors. What are some specific outputs or activities that could lead to that?
Yeah, regarding the output, I'm thinking of offering every single day physical activity by which community members will be busy and not thinking about some other things. So if we offer every single day physical activities or sports, they will have that choice to do one thing versus the in-risk behavior.
That's great. Thank you. We're just coming up to the end of the call, so I'm just going to do Melanie, Holly, and Josh fairly quickly, just so you guys each have a chance to contribute. Melanie, I see a spinning wheel for you, so I'm not sure if you're able to unmute and talk or not.
Okay.
Yeah. So maybe in about 30 seconds, just so we've got enough time to wrap up the call in time, what are some of the outputs or activities that you're doing a lot that help to foster that integration you were talking about in community?
I have to talk really fast. 30 seconds.
Just give an example.
So I want to give the example of putting on a run. And I think that could be, for example, that those people who are participating, that they get cheered on to feel the integration in the community, but then also the pride in the community of people who are cheering. So both of it, that's what I was thinking of.
That's great. So that's a kind of a nice way, example of how sometimes special events can involve people as participants, but they can also involve people as supporters too, or cheerleaders, or whatever you want to call it. So it's not just about the players on a team or in an event like that, but it's about all the people in the community. So thank you. Holly, help for yourself. I think you have a couple of pretty big outcomes with your Lights On program. I think you've explained some of the activities. Did you want to take 30 seconds to explain some of those activities a little bit more that might lead to that keeping kids more engaged in the evening time?
Yeah, so the activities would mean we have access to the gym so they can do the sports they choose. We would have access to the kitchen and also the Northern Distance Learning Room, so kids can go there to do homework, and then the kitchen for cooking. We'll have a community health representative, as I said, so they'll come in and do like one cooking class every now and then. And then we'll also do the traditional reading, we'll have a movie night. There's just a bunch of things that go on with Lights On, and I can't explain it all in 30 seconds, but that's the whole outcome of it.
So one way you might want to think about it when you plan it is you might want to divide them up into physical activity things, like Igor said, you can do physical activity every day, cultural activities that connect kids back to their culture, healthy eating activities. So you could lump your overall goals of and long-term outcomes into these sort of activity categories rather than finding the specific activities. So that might be one way to structure your plan. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I recognize it is on the hour. If you guys do need to go, my apologies. I'm just going to go to Josh, so I want to leave Josh out. Josh, how about yourself? You sort of talked about mental and physical health, which is a big outcome. So could you describe how one of the activities or programs that you run contributes to that?
Yeah, so one thing would just be increasing participation in events that are put on. So if you want to start maybe a hockey program in the community, or you want to start a basketball program, one good indicator that they're improving their physical health is they're showing up once a week or twice a week to these events and they're scheduled. So one way you can help facilitate that is training recreation in community with having to do coaching clinics. And so we find that probably when coaches are quite knowledgeable and feel confident to be able to coach the kids, that can help with attendance and help give the kids proper training when they do come to the gym or recreation facility to participate.
That's great, thanks. And then another activity that just came to mind when you're talking about that would be making sure coaches have something like respect in sport or safe sport training, so because that contributes to mental health, right? when the behaviors are respectful and things are coached in a certain way. So thanks so much, everybody. I really appreciate it. My apologies for going a couple of minutes over, but this does wrap up our first RP 101 conference call. And I really appreciate you sharing your perspectives. And I do encourage you to do this week's RLA, but then also look ahead to next week's one and use what we thought about on this conference call to start thinking about how you're going to shape that. This one you could probably do in 5 minutes or less after we finish the call, so it would get us checked off. Kaylee, thank you for posting in the chat, too. I did read that, and I think it's great that you guys connect with the Manitoba Youth Center, because the more connections that you can make in your communities between like-minded organizations, the better support the children and youth are going to have in your community. So that's a really important point, that not only connecting people, but connecting with other like-minded organizations. So thank you very much. Matichu, merci, guanashish. If you want to pop goodbye in your local language into the chat, you're welcome to. And if you have any questions, please stay on the call, and I'm happy to take them afterwards. Otherwise, I'll talk to you next week. Bye.